Ephesians in chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. If you have your Bibles with you, you might turn there to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse number 17. The Christian life is the best life this world has ever enjoyed. The best people that we've ever known have been Christian people. There are joys and blessings and privileges and promises connected with being a Christian that just can't be found anywhere else. We have in Christ the redemption of our sins and the forgiveness of those same sins. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, in that same chapter he speaks of all of our spiritual blessings being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Peter reminds us that we have this hope in Christ Jesus, which is so very strong that it provides to us exceeding great and precious promises in his second epistle in chapter 1. We have, in fact, all the hope in the hereafter and all the help we need right here and now. And sometimes we, if we're not careful, can mistakenly believe that that's all there is to it. The blessings we receive, the joy that's ahead of us, the glories that we look forward to, all of which are so very important and so very vital to us. So many of our songs are about the blessings and joys and the glories and the wonders of being a Christian and longing for heaven, which is the place of our home. It is our citizenship. But we must never lose sight of the fact we do have responsibilities here and now. And that's what Paul is writing about here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Even though in this very book we've just referenced the spiritual blessings we enjoy, the redemption, the forgiveness of sins that we enjoy, he tells us very clearly here that if we have come to Christ, come into Christ, and have thus learned from Christ, we're going to have to finally leave the ways of the world behind us. We can't live in two worlds at one time. We can't serve two masters at once. It's impossible. And so it's about time we got up and about the business of serving Christ and living like Christians should live. And so we begin reading in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17, where Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for you are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, you notice he draws a very sharp and distinctive line of demarcation between the lives they used to live and the lives they're supposed to be living now. The conduct that characterizes still the heathen, unbelieving world, which should never have any part in those who serve Christ. He gives reason for why those in the world act like they do, think like they do, behave like they do, because they aren't seeing clearly, they are ignorant of the truth, and they are calloused, or the actual language in the original is petrified in their heart to where they can't even feel the difference in right and wrong, good and bad. Can't tell the one from the other. And that's why they continue down the path of corruption. Now, we all used to be there, he tells his readers. That's exactly where you were. But something happened. You came to Christ, and in gospel obedience, you have been able to come into Christ, enjoying everything he has to offer by way of the blessings we referenced earlier. But in so doing, you had to, in your mind and behavior, leave behind that sordid world you came out of. And in the midst of all of that, he gives a beautiful turn of phrase when he says, "You have not so learned Christ." Having just described much of the corruption and filth of the world of his day, much of which still is characterized by the world of our day, their lack of thinking and understanding and feeling about right and wrong. In contrast to all that depravity and wrongness, he says, "You've not so learned Christ." The most principal thing, the most fundamental matter of being a Christian is living like him, thinking like he thought, talking like he talked, following Jesus. After all, as disciples, we are Christians. Truth be told, the word disciple is found more often than the word Christian in the New Testament. And the word disciple means a follower, a student, an imitator, a learner. And that's exactly what we are following Jesus Christ. You might remember that wonderful passage in the end of Matthew chapter 11 that begins with the words all of us remember fondly. When he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest to your souls." There in the great invitation, he plants the seed of understanding that to accomplish this, to be free from the burden of sin, we have to come to Christ, but to do that, we learn of him. And we follow him. Just so in Matthew 16, Jesus will say, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and go his own way." Wouldn't that be something if he had said that? He would have described much of what the religious world does today. But no, take up your cross and follow me. That means we have the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2 and verse 5. It means we walk in his footsteps, as Peter describes that in 1 Peter chapter 2. It means that we follow the example of Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we follow after him in the words of Hebrews in chapter 12, the first few verses. We haven't learned these ugly things of the world from Jesus. We're supposed to have learned the good things of righteousness and right living from Jesus. And we show to the world and to one another, and as we look in the mirror to ourselves, who we're learning from by how we think, how we talk, and how we live. We like to think, but I'll just tell you before I go any further, we're wrong in this. But we like to think that we're our own people. Nobody tells us what to do. We make up our own minds. We come to our own decisions. We don't need to be led. We're the leader. We know what we're doing. Truth is, as Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. You have to serve one. And none of us are self-created beings. We end up, over time, becoming like what we learn and who we listen to. We're easily programmable. And even though you may deny it to your dying breath, it's true. You are programmable. Your life at the present moment reflects that. Men, why aren't you wearing kilts this evening? I've seen them. You've seen them. And they look fairly comfortable. In fact, I think in the hot weather, they might be very comfortable. And yet I look around tonight, and I saw many of you walk in, and I didn't see a kilt coming in the door tonight. Now, if you're sitting there with one, you're going to ruin my point. Now, why, men, aren't you wearing a kilt this evening? Well, you might have a lot of different answers to that, but it all comes down to the same thing. We just don't do things like that around here. Well, why not? I thought we were our own person, making up our own decisions, going our own way. Nobody tells us how to do. You can't tell me not to wear a kilt. Well, I'm not wearing one either, because I'm programmable. And where I come from, buddy, we wear pants. That's just what men do. We wear pants. Every chance we get, we wear pants. Why? Well, because that's what we've learned. That's what we do. We're easily programmable. So much of our lives that don't matter at all, we do almost without thinking, automatically, because that's the way we've been programmed by our society, by things around us. It doesn't make them right or wrong. Back to the kilt, and I didn't mean to spend nearly this much time with this evening, but you go over to the part of the world where that's done, there's nothing wrong with them wearing kilts over there because that's the way they do things. They've been programmed that way. Like I say, it doesn't matter about things that don't, but it does about things that do. And that's what Paul's talking about here. We had been programmed by this world. Hearts and minds that were blind and ignorant and calloused to where we couldn't even feel with a conscience what's right and wrong any longer. No interest in doing right, no interest in behaving in the right kind of manner. He doesn't use the words here, but the language suggested beastly kinds of lives, animalistic behavior. And we live that way because that's the way everybody lives. That's just the way of the world. That's how we had been programmed until something happened. It was Jesus and his example, his influence, his sacrifice, and his salvation. And we made a choice. Those of us in Christ made a one-time and for all-time decision. I'm going to leave that life I had behind me. I'm going to cut off that programming I've had, and now I'm going to come to Christ, and that means I don't just enjoy everything he offers by way of blessing, I also take everything he has by way of a yoke of learning and fellowship. He's my master. I'm surrendering to him as my Lord and master. I learn from him now. I'm programmed by him. That's the good news. All of us over time can become more and more like Jesus as life goes on. And even though, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, the outer man can perish, the inward man can be renewed day by day. Or like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, the last verse there, we can be as if looking in a mirror and revealing to ourselves the glory of the Lord. And as we stand fixated at that image, we become like it over time by the glory of the Lord, become like Jesus by reflecting on him. That's the possibility. That's the expectation. But oftentimes that's not the way it happens. Because oftentimes we see becoming a Christian more or less like joining a social club, where our name's in a roll and we attend more often than not, and we pay our dues and do what's expected, never changing the way we think, the way we talk, the way we behave. And that latter, change in attitude, in language, in lifestyle, that is everything that God expects of us in this life. Change the way you think. Is your heart right with God? Change the way you talk. We just read about it here a moment ago, that the speech we use should not be corrupted. We should use our language to edify and build up. And our behavior, well, unlike the carnal heathen world of that day or the unbelieving world of our day, we should live higher lives than that, because we've learned from Christ. There's no shortcut to this next. How do you get there? It's not by listening to your friend that says, "I know how to do it," and then fills your minds with foolishness. The only way to learn Christ is to read of Christ and to believe it, embrace it, and start thinking that way. There's no shortcut. There's no pill you can take to give you New Testament Bible knowledge. If there were, believe me, I would have taken it, but the pill doesn't exist. If there were some injection you could take that all of a sudden after taking that injection you would have all the mind of Christ, I would have taken it if I had the money to buy it, but it's not available. The only way to learn of Christ is to read. There's no other way. He doesn't come into your heart while you're sleeping. He doesn't tap you on the shoulder while you're at the red light. The only way to learn of Christ is to read of Christ. And didn't Paul say, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom"? He did. Well, that same word is available to you and me, and we have every opportunity every day, more so than anybody ever before us, to have the word of Christ. Have you ever thought about how wonderful an age we live in right now? You go back not too many hundreds of years, and it would be almost impossible to get your hands on a Bible. And now we've got them in the house, in the pew. We've got them in our phones, in our computers. If you want to read the Bible, it's always available to you. And again, you can't learn of Christ until you're willing to read, study, absorb, meditate on the words of Christ. And over time, those words are moving from the page through the heart into our very lives so much that over time, the Word becomes us and we are the Word, because that's just who we are. And that's what Paul is saying here. When you live like the world does, you still are trapped by the same sins that used to ensnare you years ago. You still have the bad, ugly thoughts you had. Use the same language you used to use, or have behavior not becoming a Christian. You haven't learned that from Christ. You've learned that from somewhere else. And just as the Bible is available everywhere, the filth is too. You turn on your computer, you click on your phone, you turn on the television, and the devil is working overtime to make sure he programs all those who'll pay attention to his way of thinking. And I'll say, of all of that, you've not so learned Christ. The choice is ours, always ours. Who will we choose to listen to? Hopefully we can all say, I can do better. And perhaps together with encouragement one to another, we can, as time goes by, do better and become less like the world and much more like Jesus Christ. If you're with us tonight and outside of Christ, all blessings are there. Come to Him tonight in gospel obedience. Or as a child of God, if you strayed, come back to Him. He still offers to redeem and save. He loves you, but you have to come back first. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.